This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Sunbury Motors, the Purdy Insurance Company, NIL Game Changers, and Brewers Outlet. Today on the show, Matt Cotrillo is going to call us in about 5 minutes. 1:35, we have Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer on the Philadelphia 76ers, who opened the... I guess it's technically a playoff game. The 2024 playoffs tomorrow night against Miami in the play-in game. The actual first round of the NBA playoffs, I believe, starts on Saturday. And then at 2:05, Neil Coulong is going to join us to talk a little Steelers, a little NFL, and whatever else him and Steve decide to get into. I guess the big news, at least to me right now, is that Whitey Herzog passed away earlier today. I guess more famously known as the White Rat, manager of the Royals and the Cardinals in the early 80s into the late 80s. Bane of my existence, I'm a Mets fan, and man, those mid-80s Cardinals were real good. The 1985 Cardinals really did a number on the Mets that year. Mets got him back in 1986, though, of course, but, you know, Whitey Herzog was really the first one, I guess, to start in Kansas City and really in St. Louis to kind of take advantage of the AstroTurf and kind of use speed as a major weapon. Those of you that remember those Cardinals teams with Vince Coleman and Willie McGee at the top and just all the problems they caused, you know, Tommy Herr didn't hit many homers, but hitting two or three in that lineup always got him 100 RBIs, you know, and then... Carl Erskine also passed away today too, former Brooklyn Dodger, featured in the Roger Kahn book, Boys of Summer. If that's not something you've ever read in your life, I really recommend that book. That is a great book by Roger Kahn. But Carl Erskine was in his 90s, died in Indiana. Seems like late last night, it was announced this morning. So a couple of pretty sad deaths to announce. Again, Carl Erskine played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Whitey Herzog, pretty famous major league manager. I'm sure people know as well that Caitlin Clark went number one last night to the Indiana Fever in the WNBA draft. I think we talked a little bit how quick that time goes between college and pros for the women's basketball players. It was, is it even 10 days since the women's national championship game? Between Iowa and South Carolina, and all those senior players are now know where they play and now know where they're drafted. We got Matt Cotrillo coming up at about 1:15, so I'm going to hit the first break right here. You're listening to The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are sponsored by the Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Purdy Insurance, and Sunbury Motors. And of course, we are in the Sunbury Motors studio here in Sunbury. And on the line right now, we do have Mr. Matt Cotrillo. How are you doing this afternoon, Mr. Cotrillo?
Don Hummel, I am doing very good, and am I, like, starting to scare Steve away, which isn't surprising, but I guess maybe I should be glad this happened now and not while I was still on the show full time.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully that's all it is, buddy.
Well, no, he had a couple legitimate excuses last couple weeks, because I think last week was football club, and I think he was at practice the week before, so... Maybe I'll give it another week.
I was going to say,
before I draw any conclusions.
In his defense, you were off a day. You were on Thursday last week and not Tuesday.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Also true. I'll take the blame for that one then.
It's all your fault. So I guess the first question is, what are you wound up about this week?
Well, actually, this is perfect timing because I know you guys got Keith Pompey coming up to talk Sixers as they get ready for the Heat tomorrow for the play-in tourney. And I got to start there with Joel Embiid. Him, and I don't know if this is necessarily his fault, but him not playing when the Sixers still had everything on the line on Sunday for as high as the fifth seed, for them to just sit out the game, and for the management and Nick Nurse, whatever, to choose to sit him out when you've got everything on the line, to me, was a total disgrace. I mean, I get if you're worried about his injury. I mean, I totally get that. But fact is, he came back in the other night against the Magic, and he was fine. I mean, he looked fine to me. I mean, unless something else might have come up that we just don't know about, that the Sixers aren't being transparent about, which is also a problem if that's the case. But to me, he looked fine, so... why isn't he out there? I know you got the playoffs looming, but you got to get there first. So let's take this one thing at a time here. Let's get into playoffs first, and then we can go from there. But the fact that he did not play Sunday was a complete disgrace to me, and this is once again the NBA load management at its finest. And now it's starting to go a little over the top for me and crossing the line at this point when you've got something to play for, a lot to play for, I should say, on the line, and this is all the NBA. This is not just the Sixers, but this is the Sixers with Joel Embiid specifically, and managing his injuries and his injury history, and just everything else across the NBA. I'm going really tired of it right now.
Well, I wonder if it stiffened up on him after he stopped playing after the game was over against the Magic. I wonder if that's part of it, and.
But then why didn't they say anything, though? That would be my point. If there was something up, even as something as stiffness, because you'll see that in the injury reports in the NBA. You know, so-and-so's got stiffness in the leg, arm, knee, whatever. Just go out and say that. Then you can at least justify why he's not playing and what's the biggest game of the regular season to determine where you are in the postseason.
Sure, yeah.
I bet it was.
Here's the one they won't put out, right? Mentally not there. Okay. How about that one?
Well, at least I know I didn't scare him off this time.
How about this injury report, right? Allergic to playoffs.
I mean, like I said, that's a whole other different story, but The fact is, he looked fine in that game against the Magic when he got hurt. So unless something else come up and the Sixers aren't being transparent about it, it's an absolute disgrace that they chose to sack him when the Sixers had everything on the line in the open and the final game of the regular season.
Well, you're in the playoffs. You got the Heat. You lose to the Knicks. And it'll be everybody else's fault except the big fella.
I mean, I could see all the above happening. The Sixers are playing well right now, but I'm still holding my breath to see, or I'm not holding my breath, I should say, and until I see things come to fruition. I mean, I've had enough of this of buying into the Sixers playoff hype. Well, this is the year they're playing at the right time, and then they keep losing the second round. When they actually look like they have a chance to win in the second round to go to the conference finals, then wake me up. If not, this is all gravy at this point, with or without Joel Embiid.
Well, again, you have a problem. Your star does not come up big in the playoffs. Simple as that. Let's see. Let's look at the great players of the last 10 years. All right. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, all right. Stephen Curry, Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic. On and on you go. They've all made it to the finals. Okay? They've all made it to the finals and they've come up big. Okay? There's been too much.
And you mentioned Jason Tatum, who could have been and should have been a Sixer if the Sixers didn't fall under Danny Ainge's trap when they went for Markelle Fultz instead, thinking he was going to get him, and they try to play this mind game. Just get who was there. This entire franchise, Steve, really, from the time of the process when all this nonsense started, from the process up to now, this franchise, quite frankly, from the top all the way down, has been a complete disgrace. Not only is not playing Joel Embiid a total disgrace, but it starts from the top down with their fraudulent owner and Josh Harris, who started this whole mess, and the Sixers still have nothing to pay for. Have nothing to come out of it when you start with the process and the whole point. This whole thing has been a complete disgrace, and as long as this keeps going on, I will definitely be starting to grow a little apathetic with this team because they haven't gone anywhere. It's been absolutely a travesty.
You don't seem happy.
No, not one bit. How would you feel if your team decided to sit your star player because they're afraid he's going to get hurt when it's still the biggest game of the year? You're all in or you're all out at this point of the season. Play the guy. Then not only that, too, then I see he's going to be on the roster for Team USA this summer. Are you crazy? I mean, listen, if he didn't have the injury history, then, you know, if he wants to play for this country, that's fine. But this is a totally different story. This guy can't even stay healthy and be ready for a postseason, let alone now you're going to let him play the Olympics and play an extra dozen or so games? If I'm Daryl Morey, if I'm Josh Harris, I'm saying, yo, Holmes, sorry. I know you want to play for your country, but you can't. You can't do it. You can't stay healthy. We need you for what you need, what you're being paid for, and why you're a star, and that's to play with the Sixers in an NBA uniform. Don't worry about the Olympics.
Well, my answer would be if I were Joel Embiid, well, at least now I have a chance to win something.
Oh, really? Well, then let me see you stay on the court, Einstein. I mean, this does work both ways here. I still put a majority of this blame on the Sixers. But this still does work both ways here. And here's another reason why he shouldn't have sat. Apparently, Joel Embiid's trying to do everything to get back into game shape for the playoffs. Sitting out the last game of the regular season isn't going to help you. That's why this whole thing just doesn't make sense to me.
Are you applying for John Sterling's job?
Well, it seems like it's pretty much taken. I haven't heard... I forget the one guy's name that's been filling in, but Justin Shackle, I have heard both on Yes and doing the radio, and he does a great job. And I'd be fine if he's the guy that takes over. But it is tempting, that's for sure. But it certainly is going to be definitely big shoes to fill to replace one John Sterling.
Oh, come on! You criticized him all the time.
He grew with me as the years went by.
Hey, Todd, John Sterling, who's been there for 36 years, finally grew on him.
It took a while.
Holy mackerel. All
right. So it was an acquired taste.
Suddenly out of nowhere, the guy's headed to the exit. You know, I liked him.
I'll let you fill in the blank.
Oh, just... You're going to miss the Yankees win.
Well, that was kind of fun. I mean, some of the home run calls I can live without, but the Yankees win was always probably at the top for me.
Hey, that's your guy.
Yeah. Well, I wish him well.
Yeah.
I still don't get the timing of why he decided to just pull the plug now immediately. I felt like he should have done this at the beginning of the season, but he also said that he also did mention that this was poor timing, so I give him credit for that. But other than that, it's fine.
Let's find out what he says Friday, because he's going to have a press conference Friday. So
I do wonder if something's up myself still. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because it's not as if he announces on the air it's his last game. They just announce he's done his last game. Why?
Yeah.
All right, and that's and you worry about what the why happens to be.
Exactly. Yeah, that's still lingering in the back of my mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so get concerned about that. So we go from a guy that you follow quitting after we just talked about an entire team that quits. No? Bad segue?
Well, actually, it's kind of perfect because this brings me to the hockey team in Philadelphia where I saved this just for you, Steve, to nominate John Tortorella not only for the dope category, but to put him in the Hall of Stinkage.
Okay, and what did he do this time?
He was typical John Tortorella himself, trying to be, you know, the hard, tough-nosed coach, trying to win in the NHL. That doesn't work anymore. This is not 2004 anymore, John Tortorella. And he's sitting his captain when his captain was actually playing decently and starting to get back into the rhythm. It was the reason why that you came back and almost beat the Boston Bruins when you were down 6-0 in that game. But yet you still sat him because you're, quote, trying to send a message. Plus, you make other panic moves, but with like pulling the goaltender and putting in this Russian guy who can barely play as it is and clearly wasn't ready for the NHL level yet. There's plenty of reasons why he needs to be on this category. I've had enough of him, and it's time for the Flyers to move on with him after another disappointing season with them.
This Russian guy?
Really? Yeah, Vodotov.
Well, first of all, Danny Hurley just won a national championship.
Yes, I'm very proud for the Jersey City native.
And they will tell you that tough love is part of what they do. I mean,
he also knows how to actually coach and make good decisions on the fly. If you can do that, then that's fine. But when you're just being there trying to be the tough guy and don't back it up, it doesn't work.
Todd, do you know what you and I are going to be doing?
What's that?
You and I are going to be going to that first Little League game. All right, we're going to sit out there. We're going to watch. Right? Oh, Luke, it's okay. I know you struck out 4 times today, but it's mommy's fault.
If you can't be there, I'll make sure to get footage.
Oh, no, I am going to go. Oh, and you and I, Todd, are going to heckle. You coach like the suit.
But I at least still have logic to back up my coaching style.
You're going to be yelling
at that. I'm not going to make panic moves.
You're going to yell at that kid. Oh, he'll be in the fetal position by the 3rd inning.
I have a crisp $5 bill that says you will make at least 1 panic move.
Oh, I'll double it. I'll add another crisp $5 bill. It will panic your brains out. And you're going to forget it's Little League. He quit. He left.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are going to talk more about the NBA playoffs today, correct?
Yep, Keith's on the line now.
All right. So, Keith, first of all, thanks for joining us. Great to have you on the show today.
And thanks for having me.
Yep, let's get to the Embiid situation, about where he is right now, how he's feeling, because he certainly made a big difference down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, I won't say he's 100%, right? But what I will say is he's going to play. You know, he practiced yesterday. He practiced today. It was one of those things. He did tweak his knee on Friday. But it was one of those things where, you know, I was talking to, you know, several of his teammates who told me, like, look, big fella would have played if it was if the playing game was today, that they said that on Sunday, he would have played. Now, is he 100%? No. But at the same time, he would have played. And I think that, you know, he's dying to get out there just because he knows if he doesn't play, then people are going to be like, oh, there goes Joel again, not playing. So I expect him wholeheartedly to go out there and play tomorrow, and they're going about it as if he is going to play.
Look, let's be honest about it. And sometimes I think that some people who follow the team aren't. Right, there's been a lot of blame on James Harden, a lot of blame on Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid's only been good. He has not been great in the playoffs. Why?
Why exactly? Hello. Oh, so yeah, exactly. He has been good. He hasn't been great. You know, Joel, to be an MVP and to be an All-Star player, seven-time All-Star, typically their numbers elevate. Like you look at Jimmy Butler, they call him Playoff Jimmy for a reason. His numbers elevate. And for whatever reason, you can say injuries or you can say whatever, Joel Embiid's numbers aren't totally bad, but he's not as dominant as he is in the regular season. So, yeah, we can go ahead and we can talk about, you know, James Harden. We can talk about Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey. But everyone knows that the Sixers are not going to go far unless Joel Embiid dominates in the playoffs. So that's the next step for him. He has to dominate, and he has to play, you know, on the dominant level, elite level that he plays in the regular season.
All right, so now who needs to step up in that second and third role that at this time of the year you need to have to be successful?
You know, I want to say, I'm going to say Tobias Harris, right? But the funny part about the whole thing is, of all the guys on the team who've been there, like the key guys, he's the only one whose numbers are better in the postseason than the regular season. The only one, right? So it's easy to say Tobias, but you need Maxey to continue to be this dominant force to play off of Embiid. I feel like if he's a 1A to Embiid's A, I feel like what that will do is that will open up more things, not just for Tobias, but Kelly Oubre, Buddy Hield, things like that, But if Maxey struggles, then they're all going to have a rough night. So to me, it's easy to say Tobias because he hasn't been real consistent this regular season. But for me, Maxey has to do the same thing, just like Embiid. He has to come ready to play. Because if not, you know, it's going to be a long one.
Timing means something. They get through Miami. They get the Knicks without Julius Randle. Is this a golden opportunity because of what I just talked about?
I think it is. You know, it is a golden opportunity. Now, if I'm the 76ers, I would rather play the Milwaukee Bucks with a banged-up Giannis, right, and a Dame Lillard struggling. But, yeah, timing is everything. And the thing is, I do feel like it's going to be a great series, but at the same time, when you look at that matchup, you say to yourself, who do they have on that team that can stop Joel Embiid? And if he's playing at an optimum level. And then you're right. You know, there are some other guys that they do have on that Villanova. I mean, I called it Villanova because they have Villanova guys, but on that New York Knicks team. But when you look at it, you know, it's one of those things. If Julius Randle is out, which he is, and then you can, like, defend some other guys, I think that the Sixers could win it. Now, I don't think it's going to be 4 or 5 games. I think it's going to go 6 games at least. But this is a very winnable series for them.
Yeah, was it Hart, Brunson, what, DiVincenzo?
Right? Yep, that's the three.
For Villanova North.
I know, right?
So, what do you think about the matchup with Miami, especially Adebayo?
You know what? The thing about Adebayo is, unfortunately for him, he's had a couple good games against the Sixers, but he's just a little bit too small for Embiid, right? So I'm looking for Embiid to have a solid performance against Bam. You know, Bam's a great player, 3-time All-Star, but he's only, what, 6'9", maybe 230, where you have Embiid 7'2", really like 300, although they have him listed as 280. But to me, the matchup is it's going to be two things, and it's not Embiid or Jimmy Butler. You know what they're going to do. I think the matchup is how are the 76ers guards going to contend with that zone that the Miami Heat does. They do a 2-3 zone, but they bring their wings up real high. And it's kind of like it's a zone, but they're pressuring people. It's crazy, right? So, and then in addition to that, it's like whenever the Sixers typically struggled against the Knicks, I mean, the Miami Heat, it's always been you look around and guys like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robbins, they all had, like, these crazy three-point shooting games. So, to me, the key is for the Sixers defensively, we got to contain these guys. We can't allow them to get open looks. And then on the offensive end, how do we crack this zone? How do we break it? How do we penetrate it? And that's what they have to do in order to win this game.
All right. What's interesting about this, the pressure of this, the play-in, how do you view the pressure of it? Because you don't have a lot of luxury of losing games.
You don't, but the thing about it is I think that there is some pressure, and they'll say it, but in the back of their head, they're all looking at it like, you know what? This is a double elimination tournament for us. I'm talking about Miami. And I'm talking about the 76ers, right? I feel like whoever loses this game, that's when the real pressure comes. Because it goes from, you know what, I was the 7 or 8 seed, and now I'm not even going in the playoffs. I think that's when it gets real. As much as they say stuff right now, I feel like it gets real. And the prime example is because you look at Miami last year. You know, Miami lost the first game. They were the 7th seed. They lost the first game, and then they had to play the winner of the 9-10 game. They won that game and went all the way to the NBA Finals. So, to me, that's when the sense of urgency comes. Whoever loses this one, that's when it gets real.
Yeah. All right. So, the league drew 22.5 million fans this year. 10 teams had 41 sellouts. in 41 dates, the Sixers being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the timing for the league to have that kind of news with the TV contract coming up, what can this mean for everybody across the board?
I mean, I think that everyone across the board, you know, if I'm owners, I'm about to go out there and just go to the boat place and say, hey, man, I need three yachts. Just give me three yachts on credit. You know I'm going to give it back to you. For players, I think the salaries are going to be higher, too. So I think it's good for the NBA. I really do. I mean, I think the fact that a lot of people are interested. I mean, you look at the TV ratings, too. You know, yes, they're coming up with a new TV deal, but the TV ratings were off the charts, too. You know what I mean? For things like the play-in tournament, everything. So I think that, you know, right now we're going to start seeing guys. If we think they're getting a lot of money now, just wait till you see this next TV deal. And owners are going to get paid more and more. So I think it's a financial win-win for the league. Everyone.
Well, yeah, I totally agree because I know they like to triple. They won't triple it. But they can get 2 to 2.5 times what they're getting now, which is phenomenal. I'm glad you brought up the play-in tournament. Okay, this will be the old guy in me coming out. It's a gimmick. To me, I view it, my opinion, as a gimmick. And I realize it's a gimmick to get more interest in the game. Understand that. Maybe even a separate TV deal just for that. I understand that as well. If I'm the Lakers, I don't put up a banner for it. I mean, to me, it's like winning the battle for Atlantis. I mean, it's like, sorry. Hey, Maui Invitational Champions. Great, we'll put a banner up. But how do you view it since you're covering it? And because I know that the players were really invested in it in part because of the bonus money.
I'm not a huge fan of it at all. Like, actually, I don't like it. And here's the deal. The reason being is if you look at it, what did it mean at the end of the day? Yes, the Lakers put a banner up, right, because they were more aggressive than other teams and really wanted to get their players paid. But at the end of the day, they're in the play-in tournament. You look at the Indiana Pacers. I mean, heck, if the Pacers would have lost on Sunday, they would have been in a play-in tournament. So It's kind of like it doesn't look good to me to be able to say I'm going to promote this tournament and make it seem like it's great, but my champions and the runner-up are the play-in squads. You know what I mean? And then another thing is what I didn't really like about it is, and if I'm a certain team, you think about it, the 76ers lost, and they didn't go to the quarterfinals. So who were they paired up against? The next two games they played were the Atlanta Hawks, who were struggling at the time, and then the other one was the Washington Wizards, who was the second worst team in the league at the time. Whereas a team who went to the quarterfinals and lost to a quality opponent had to play another team who lost in the quarterfinals. So their strength of schedule was tougher than what the 76ers had. So to me, there's a lot of things that they're going to continue that they got to fix up, because the scheduling balance, you look at it, you know, it benefited certain teams. So, you know, I'm not a huge fan of that. And to be honest with you, and you didn't ask this, but I'm not even a fan of the play-in tournament because, you know, if it was closer, that's great. But when you have, like, a team like the Atlanta Hawks being 10 games behind the Miami Heat. What if the Heat lose to the Sixers tomorrow, and then they lose to the Atlanta Hawks? Say if the Atlanta Hawks win and they lose to them. And then it's like, well, so you're basically telling us that the regular season means nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not a fan of it. And I think that, you know, it's a way for them to get TV ratings. Mm-hmm. It's a way for the league to get more money. And I know they keep saying, well, we're trying to keep interest. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. But, you know, I'm a traditionalist, and I feel like if you're the AC, especially if you had 10 games ahead of the other squad, you deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well, technically, That means 20 out of the 30 teams, two-thirds, make the postseason. Right? Okay, as you know, I broadcast two sports, Penn State football, Penn State basketball, where in the NCAA tournament, 18.7% make it, and in college football, until they go to 12 teams coming up this year, only 3% make it. You're covering a league where two-thirds make it. So it does it does kind of water it down.
It waters it down, and also it also gives teams false hope. Like, okay, let's think about this, and let's think about the Charlotte Hornets a couple of years ago. Yep. There was a couple of years where they kept making the play-in tournament, right? Yep. And everyone was like, oh, you know, they got this young team. They kept making a play-in tournament, and, you know, a couple of they looked like a team that didn't deserve to be there. Well, did they do any rebuilding? No. I mean, they keep getting lottery picks, and or they didn't get them those years, not the real great ones. But when you look at them, they went from being a team that made the play-in tournament, where some people thought they had some hope, to being a team that's one of the worst teams in the league still. The same with the Washington Wizards. You know, they made the play-in tournament with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. And then they won, and then they ended up playing the Sixers. They got the eighth seed and played the Sixers. But then a year later, they realized, like, well, yeah, that was nice for us to get in there and do this, but we're still a ways away. So, to me, it sounds nice to say you made the play-in tournament, but at the same time, you're still a struggling ball club. Because 9 out of 10 times, this year is a little different, but for the most part, these teams have losing records, and they're in there, you know. So I'm not a huge fan. I'm not.
Now you mentioned young team. Well, the youngest team to ever be a number one seed is Oklahoma City in the West. And if you're if you're not a fully invested NBA fan, you probably wouldn't know that. So when you look at them, and look, Alexander's terrific. Holmgren's come on; he's played well. But what does playoff experience mean? Because they don't have a lot of it out there. So what, when you look at them and playoff experience, what is the meaning since you cover this so closely?
Yeah, I think they're going to be it may be rough for them. You know, I can see them winning a series, right? And, you know, for them, I hope they go a little bit further than that. But when you don't have that playoff experience, it's different. It's really bad. Like, you know, you see these guys, and sorry for being long-winded, but I'm just going to give you an example of this, of what a veteran told me. He told me in a regular season NBA game, you come out with your game plan, and then you play like several minutes, you get it going, everything like that. And then he says it's kind of like the equivalent, it turns into an equivalent of a pickup game. You got these different rotations in there. Guys are doing this and that, right, in the second quarter. He says then at the start of the third quarter, it's one of those things where you want to come out, hit the other team in the mouth, so to speak, and just get out there and go, right? And then he says it turns back into a pickup game until the final 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. He says that's when the coaching comes in. That's when you bring all your starters back in. Or if you got a guy that's hot, a closer, you'll bring the closer in, and that's when you start coaching. That's the regular season. The difference is these young guys are going to find out is that these in the playoffs, every possession matters.
Yep.
And people are going to go hard. The crowd is going to be electric, right? You're not going to be able to hear things. So it's like that's the major difference. And it was for me. When I experienced a playoff game covering it, like after the game, I went into the locker room, said to a dude, "It's like, yo, man, I didn't know you had that." He said, "What?" I'm like, "I didn't know you had that." Like, and I said, "No, not. But you were like constant. You played hard." And he said, "Keith, that's playoff basketball." He says, "People don't realize it that, you know, where he says where it's not that we're not giving our optimum effort," he says, "but in the way that the games are set up, is that you can take breaks. You can get other guys in there. Mm-hmm. You can do certain things. But he says, playoff basketball, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
That's because the first 6 minutes of a playoff game, every timeout, are played like the last 6 minutes of a regular season game. And it just keeps going for all 48 minutes. And by the way, you can be long-winded anytime you want on this show. That was a great answer.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much. Thanks for the time you gave us today. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Keith. All right. Great work there by Keith Compay, joining us from the Philadelphia Inquirer, covers the Philadelphia 76ers. Not one of those answers he gave satisfied Matt Catrillo.
Unless he said that they were going to win the NBA title and guaranteed it, I don't know if there is an answer that would have satisfied him.
Okay, just so you know, it's been 41 years.
I'm well aware.
I mean, Matt wasn't born. I'll never forget this young guy coming up to me when the Steelers got to the Super Bowl. And they, you know, and they were going to play Seattle. And he comes up and goes, one for the thumb. I said, you weren't even born to the other four. I said, why don't you enjoy one? It's like me being a Red Sox fan going, 1918, got me a break. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Whatever sport you're into, B-Dubs is the place to be where you can watch your favorite team all season. Traditional wings, wing bundles, wings and fries.
All right, so I thought Matt's revelation that he's going after the Yankee play-by-play job, that was great. No.
Yankees win.
I know. John Sterling.
First base side of home plate. As the ball went to right field, Wells backed up toward the third base foul line. And then when Paul O'Neill caught the ball, Wells pumped his left hand up in the air, and he was alone for a moment with his thoughts, and then he was mobbed by Posada, the entire starting nine, and now the bullpen is jogged in, and they are all around David Wells. And when Paul O'Neill caught the ball, he pumped his fist in the air, almost as in a windmill motion, and they were all part of immortality. And the last guy out of the dugout, Joe Torre. Joe Torre had a little verbal spat with David Wells a couple of weeks ago while he touched the right button, because the last time he pitched great. And now the Yankees are carrying David Wells out the mound on the shoulders of Darryl Strawberry.
You're listening to News Radio.